By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Let's start our program with the recitation of the glorious Quran. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru jo nihayat meherban رحم والا.
اقترب للناس حسابهم وهم في غفلة معرضون.
لوگوں کا حساب نزدیک اور وہ غفلت میں منہ پھیرے ہیں.
ما يأتيهم من ذكر من ربهم محدث إلا استمعوه وهم يلعبون.
جب ان کے رب کے پاس سے انہیں کوئی نئی نصیحت آتی ہے تو اسے نہیں سنتے مگر کھیلتے ہوئے.
لاهيةً قلوبهم
ان کے دل کھیل میں پڑے ہیں.
وَأَسَرُّوا النَّجْوَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا هَلْ هَذَا إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ.
اور ظالموں نے آپس میں خفیہ مشورت کی کہ یہ کون ہیں, ایک تم ہی جیسے آدمی تو ہیں.
افتأتون السحر وانتم تبصرون.
کیا جادو کے پاس جاتے ہو دیکھ بھال کر.
قال ربی يعلم القول في السماء والارض وهو السميع العليم.
نبی نے فرمایا میرا رب جانتا ہے آسمانوں اور زمین میں ہر بات کو اور وہی ہے سنتا جانتا.
بل قالوا اضغاث احلام بل افتراه بل هو شاعر.
بلکہ بولے پریشان خوابیں ہیں بلکہ ان کی گھڑت یعنی گھڑی ہوئی چیز ہے بلکہ یہ شاعر ہیں.
فلیأتنا بآیۃ کما ارسل الاولون.
تو ہمارے پاس کوئی نشانی لائیں جیسے اگلے بھیجے گئے تھے.
ما آمنت قبلهم من قرية اهلكناها.
ان سے پہلے کوئی بستی ایمان نہ لائی جسے ہم نے ہلاک کیا.
افہم یؤمنون.
تو کیا یہ ایمان لائیں گے.
وما ارسلنا قبلك الا رجالا نوحی إليهم فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون.
اور ہم نے تم سے پہلے نہ بھیجے مگر مرد جنہیں ہم وحی کرتے, تو اے لوگو علم والوں سے پوچھو اگر تمہیں علم نہ ہو.
وَمَا جَعَلْنَاهُمْ جَسَدًا لَا يَأْكُلُونَ الطَّعَامَ وَمَا كَانُوا خَالِدِينَ.
اور ہم نے انہیں خالی بدن نہ بنایا کہ کھانا نہ کھائیں اور نہ وہ دنیا میں ہمیشہ رہیں.
ثُمَّ صَدَقْنَاهُمُ الْوَعْدَ فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُمْ وَمَن نَشَاءُ وَأَهْلَكْنَا الْمُسْرِفِينَ.
پھر ہم نے اپنا وعدہ انہیں سچا کر دکھایا تو انہیں نجات دی اور جن کو چاہی اور حد سے بڑھنے والوں کو ہلاک کر دیا.
لَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ كِتَابًا فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ
بے شک ہم نے تمہاری طرف ایک کتاب اتاری جس میں تمہاری ناموری ہے۔
اَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ
تو کیا تمہیں عقل نہیں؟
وَكَمْ قَصَمْنَا مِن قَرْيَةٍ كَانَتْ ظَالِمَةً وَأَنشَأْنَا بَعْدَهَا قَوْمًا آخَرِينَ
اور کتنی ہی بستیاں ہم نے تباہ کر دیں کہ وہ ستمگار تھیں اور ان کے بعد اور قوم پیدا کی۔
صدق اللہ العظیم۔
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم۔ ماشاءاللہ عزوجل, that was a beautiful recitation of the glorious Quran. We've got a beautiful kalam, let's go towards our beautiful kalam. صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم.
It is narrated from Sayyidina Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه that the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whosoever recites salat upon me once, Allah Almighty bestows 10 mercies upon him.
صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على محمد
آنکھوں کا تارا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد آنکھوں کا تارا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد
صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علی محمد.
The most beloved to me is the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Light of my dark heart is the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Poochhe ga maula laya hai kya kya poochhe ga maula laya hai kya kya main ye kahunga naam e محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد
صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علی محمد.
When Allah will ask, what have you brought? I will then say, the name of Muhammad صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.
دولت جو چاہو دونوں جہاں کی دولت جو چاہو دونوں جہاں کی کر لو وظیفہ نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد
صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علی محمد.
If you desire the wealth of both worlds, keep mentioning the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Rakho lahad mein jis dam aziz ho, rakho lahad mein jis dam aziz ho, mujhko sunana naam-e Muhammad dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad
sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu ala Muhammad.
O my dear ones, when you lay me to rest in my grave, do remember to mention the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
اپنے رضا کے قربان جاؤ مرشد پیا کے قربان جاؤ جس نے سکھایا نام محمد محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علی محمد.
May I sacrifice my life for Raza, who taught the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, you are watching Rise and Shine from our Bradford studio. MashaAllah, so we've got a new layout today. We're going to have, inshallah, our daily reminder, daily hadith as well. And also our topic for today. Our topic for today is regarding the excellence of knowledge, the blessings of knowledge. Let me just start off by reciting or mentioning the blessing of reciting durood and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Prophet of mercy sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, whoever recites durood upon me 100 times in the night and the day of Friday, Allah Azza wa Jal will fulfill 100 of his needs, 70 of the hereafter and 30 of this world. So try to recite as much durood as possible unto the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, it will be a very beautiful and beneficial act. Very beautiful story. Hazrat Sayyiduna Abdul Wahhab bin Ata Khafaf rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has said that in the reign of the Khilafat of Banu Umayyah, Sayyiduna Abu Abdul Rahman Farooq rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi went to Khurasan to guard the boundaries. His wife was expecting a baby. He rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi left 30,000 dinars with his wife. When he returned to Madinatul Munawwara after 27 years, he reached his home and he pushed his door with an arrow inside and the door opened. And as the door opened and he was about to enter the house, a young lad who approached him and he says, who are you and why are you coming inside our house? And that was the young lad's name was Sayyiduna Rabi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And when he saw that Sayyiduna Abdul Rahman Farooq rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he was armed. You know, he had a spear, he had a sword, and he thought, who is this person that's come to my house? So they both started to argue. And then the great Imam Sayyidina Malik bin Anas, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he also immediately arrived when he heard the noise, because their house wasn't too far away from the masjid. And he says that some other people gathered as well. And when they were arguing that, you know, this is my house, and Sayyiduna Abdul Rahman Farooq rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was saying, this is my house. And the young boy was saying, no, Rabia was saying, this is my house. So as they were arguing with one another, his wife heard him from inside the house. And she called out and said that, oh Rabia, that is your father. Let him come inside. And as they, when Rabia rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi heard that it's his father, he's never seen his father for 27 years. He was so excited. So they embraced one another and they started to cry. And when they went inside the house, Sayyiduna Abdul Rahman Farooq rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was so happy to see his family again. And subhanallah, he had something to eat and had a bit of a rest. And then he went to his wife and he says that, I gave you 30,000 dinars, what have you done with them? And his wife, she says, I will tell you later. So he went to the masjid to offer his salah. And he saw in the corner a very beautiful young boy who was sat in the corner reading the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had loads of people, mashallah, elegant and very honorable people that were there listening to him. So he asked one of them, who is this young boy? Who is this imam? And they said that this is Rabi'a bin Abdul Rahman Farooq rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And he couldn't believe his eyes that it is my son who is teaching people the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he's so excited, he goes back home and he says to his wife, I am so pleased to see my son teaching the sacred knowledge of deen to the Muslims. And his wife, she says, do you know, you asked me about them 30,000 dinars. Would you rather want the dinars or would you rather want the status of your son? And Sayyidina Imam Farooq rahmatullahi ta'ala, he smiled and he goes, I will definitely be happy with the maqam that my son has got. That the 30 dinar has no value in front of that. And his wife, she smiled and she says, well, that 30,000 dinar I spent in the gaining knowledge for your son. Yani, I spent it in his Islamic education. Subhanallah. My Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, you know, that's the status that knowledge will bring you. You know, Sayyidina Imam Farooq rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi spent 27 years away from his family, away from home, guarding the boundaries of Islam. When he came back, look at the reward that Allah Azza wa Jal gave him. And this is what Islam and this is what knowledge is about. Yes, people will go away to different countries to earn the wealth of this world. And people talk good about them. You know, bada kamyab jai reha, bada achha ji karobar hai usna. Yeah, he's been away from his family for more than 2 years. Koni hai reha, to kona paisa tha kamana na, at least he's earning the money. But when you talk about someone going in search of knowledge of the deen, that's when people start to pinpoint, to kona, kui karani fikari koni, bar le jane, and all that kind of stuff. Where is our love of the deen gone? These people, Imam Farooq rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, spent 27 years away from home. 27 years. Can you imagine, you know, what would change in Madinatul Munawwara in 27 years? But yet, subhanallah, when people live far away from their families, people will talk good about them. But that's just the mentality that these people have. Listen, there is no comparison between Islamic knowledge and the wealth of this world. Farooq rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi gave 30,000 dinars to his wife and she spent it in the Islamic education of his son. And what did he say? There is no comparison. There is no comparison to the status that my son has today to that 30,000 dinar. In the same way, let's ask ourselves a question. Where is our money spent? Amara paisa kahan kharch hota hai? Where is our money spent today? Is it spent on learning the education of this dunya? Yes, we realize that is important as well. But learning the knowledge of the dunya has never been important in the eyes of the great Sahaba Ikram alayhi muridwan. Learning the knowledge of the dunya has never been important in the eyes of the awliya Ikram. And subhanallah azza wa jal, there are many, many blessings and many, many beautiful things that Allah azza wa jal has mentioned regarding the awliya Ikram and regarding the knowledge of the deen. In Suratul Mujadala, verse number 11, para number 28, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah will raise the excellent believers amongst you and those who are given knowledge to high ranks. Yeah, so excellent believers and those people will knowledge, Allah Ta'ala will elevate in their ranks. Hazrat Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, he says that the status of Islamic scholars will be elevated 700 times more than the status of ordinary believers. There is a distance of 500 years between every two level. Subhanallah. Just imagine that great level of the people, mashallah, who gain the knowledge of the deen, our scholars, our ulama, huffaz, those people who spend their time in learning the knowledge of the deen. If an ordinary Muslim is blessed with paradise, it is sufficient for him. But feel envy at the luck of an Islamic scholar who will not only be blessed with paradise, but his status will also be elevated 700 times more than the status of an ordinary believer in paradise. Everyone who is in paradise will enjoy their life. You know, as they say, they will be wanting more, you know, than they will think of the times that in the dunya they wasted their time, they did not learn the knowledge, or else they could have got a higher status. But whatever the status an ordinary person will receive in paradise, everyone will be pleased with Allah. Everyone will be happy. Just being in paradise is a beautiful thing itself. But yet, having a status in paradise 700 times more than the status of an ordinary believer. That is something extraordinary. And subhanallah azza wa jal, the excellence of Islamic knowledge is clearly understood from the above mentioned blessed ayat, that plenty of virtues of Islamic knowledge have been mentioned in many, many places inside the glorious Quran. In another place, Allah azza wa jal, he says, شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ. Translation from Kanzul Iman, Allah has testified that there is none worthy of worship but Him, and so did the angels and those of knowledge while maintaining justice. Yani subhanallah, the Ala Hazrat Imam Ali Sunnat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali's father, Maulana Mufti Naqi Ali Khan Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, has said, three virtues of knowledge are proven by this blessed verse. Three. Number one, first, Allah has made the intention of Islamic scholars with Himself and angels. Yeah, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned Himself, the angels, and the Islamic scholars together. Secondly, He Azza wa Jal has also made Islamic scholars the witnesses of His oneness. Yeah, so if you want to learn about the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal, it is the Islamic scholars that will guide you. Now that is a great reward for the Islamic scholars, that Allah Ta'ala has chosen these great people. Now we need to either love these people, we need to support these people, and we need to sit with these people. And he says, the scholars, they say, do not be the one that is envying these people, that hates these people, that has hatred for them. Let me mention a few hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam regarding knowledge. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, the person who leaves his home to gain Islamic knowledge is in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal until he returns. So when you leave your home for the sake of knowledge, like for example, you go to the masjid on a Friday to listen to the bayan, and you go to Taraweeh to maybe listen to a bayan. Now you've left your home in search of knowledge. And inshallah Azza wa Jal, this leaving your home is like a person leaving for the sake of gaining knowledge. Subhanallah, he's in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. In At-Targhib wa Tarheeb, he says, the one who learns one or two or three or four or five kalimat, yani words about the fara'is, obligatory acts of Allah Azza wa Jal, and memorizes them properly, and then teaches them to people, will enter paradise. Just five words. You know, he says here, one, two, three, four, or five. So it could be even be one word. If you remember them, memorize them, and you teach others. And this is how the knowledge of Islam spread out through the whole world. Now the Muslims, they will go to the masjid, they will sit with the scholars, they will learn that knowledge, and they will go and pass that knowledge on to other people as well. And subhanallah, such people, Allah Ta'ala will say, he says, they will enter paradise. Another hadith, Allah Azza wa Jal will resurrect bondsmen on the day of judgment. He Azza wa Jal then will separate Islamic scholars and say to them, O the group of Islamic scholars, I know you, that's why I bestowed knowledge upon you. And I did not give you knowledge for making you suffer torment. Go, I have forgiven you. SubhanAllah. Any of these great scholars will be forgiven by Allah Azza wa Jal on the day of judgment, just because Allah Ta'ala chose them to be the ones to carry the sacred knowledge. It's been understood from the above mentioned blessed hadith that gaining knowledge is the cause of pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal, source of forgiveness and salvation, and a guarantee of entering paradise. Subhanallah. Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali has said, knowledge is not something whose excellence and virtues need to be mentioned. The whole world knows that knowledge is something much better, and gaining it is a sign of eminence, any scholarship, status. It is the thing through which human life becomes successful and pleasant. Just like, you know, you might have seen people living in the jungle. They don't have knowledge, so therefore they don't even know what true life is about, because, you know, they won't have proper clothing, they won't know how to eat, they won't know how to sleep, they won't know how to interact with you. That's what we call them, jungli. Yeah, because they live in the jungle, they live in the, you know, at Amazon forest maybe, they're living on all these deserted islands. And, you know, there are tribes that have been found, but no one has even seen these people. The tribes, you know, they're far, far away from the real world. But subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala has not just given us the real world, He's also given us the real knowledge. And that real knowledge is the knowledge of the deen. Now, knowledge is the legacy of the Anbiya Ikram alayhimu salatu wasalam. When the prophets of Allah pass away physically from this world, they don't leave wealth behind. They don't leave mansions behind. They don't leave anything but knowledge. And they leave that knowledge. And this knowledge is the source of guidance and source of protection from sins. Just like, you know, if you go into a battle and you've got your swords or you've got your guns, whatever nowadays. And, you know, that's your protection. You're protecting your own self from your enemies. Yeah? Now, how are you going to protect yourself from the greatest of all the enemies? Inna shaytana lil insani adubun mubin. The shaitan is your open enemy, my open enemy, your open enemy. How are we going to guard our iman from the shaitan? And this is why the scholars, they say that someone with knowledge can guard his iman, and then he can guard the iman of others as well. Knowledge is the source of attaining respect in this world and in the hereafter. If you look at the scholars, alhamdulillah, the respect that Allah Ta'ala has given to them. They'll walk into a room, people will stand up in respect. Yes, people respect the kings, the princes, the queens and all them. But there's respect that these true people of Allah Azza wa Jal gain. No one gains this respect. Knowledge brings dead hearts to life. Without knowledge, you know, your heart is dead. You won't realize, you know, so many people who used to be robbers, who used to be gamblers, who used to be so many bad things. But when these people came into Islam, had that knowledge of Islam, they were guided through that knowledge and they became people with a good heart. You know, so many people, as they say, Bishr-e Hafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, you know, when he was an alcoholic, but when he respected the name of Allah Azza wa Jal and he became an Islamic scholar, people respected him. In the same way, Fuzail bin Ayaz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he was a robber. He used to rob caravans. But when he learned the Quran, he became a scholar. Allah Ta'ala gave him such a high rank that subhanAllah, we talk about these great people as well. Knowledge is the source of attaining people's love. Yeah, people love the Islamic scholars. You know, they will love them. They will talk to them. You see, subhanAllah, people exchange gifts with the scholars. Why? Because they have that love. Where did that love come from? How did these people have the love of the scholars in their hearts? That love came because of the knowledge that they have about the deen. When you have that knowledge, people love them. Why? Because they've got the knowledge of the deen. They've got the knowledge of the Quran. They've got knowledge of the sunnah. You know, on one hand, if you have a very educated, you have a scientist, yeah, we call a scientist, very educated person, and you have a hafiz of Quran, there's never going to be a comparison. Because this hafiz of the Quran has the Quran in his heart, the word of Allah in his heart. If you have a scholar and you have a scientist, there can never be a comparison. Subhanallah. So lucky are those people who are becoming scholars. Lucky are those people who are gaining knowledge of Islam. Now, as lame people, what do we do? Yeah, we should love these people. Now, it's a very, very important thing that we love these people and we respect them as well. Khalif Harun Rashid was very pious and the one who knew the value and respect of knowledge. Harun Rashid, he was the king or he was the Khalifa of the Muslims in his era. Once he humbly requested Imam Kisai rahmatullahi ta'ala li, for the education of his son Ma'mun Rashid. So he rahmatullahi alayhi said, I will not come to teach here. The prince may come to my house. Harun Rashid humbly said, he will come to your home, but can he be taught first? He rahmatullahi alayhi replied, it is not possible, but rather the one who will come first will be taught first. Yeah, so it doesn't matter if you are the king. It doesn't matter if you are the khalif. I have rules. Yeah, so he had rules. If your son is the first one to come, I will teach him first. But if he is the last one to come, then I will teach him the last. And he says that the prince, when he started going to Sayyidina Imam Kisai Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, he says that one day by the chance Khalifa Harun Rashid passed by, whilst passing by saw that the Imam Kisai Rahmatullahi Ali was washing his feet and his son Ma'mun Rashid was pouring water. So his son was pouring water and Harun Rashid and Imam Kisai Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, he was washing the feet. The king furiously dismounted from his horse. He came off his horse, whipped Ma'mun Rashid and said, "You disrespectful person, why did Allah Ta'ala bless you with two hands? Pour water with one hand and wash his feet with the other hand." SubhanAllah, that is what you call respect of knowledge. He didn't say to his to the teacher, "Who the hell are you? Mare putra ki pair dhone ho tusa? Who the hell are you? Why did you even do that?" No, because he's the one who understood the knowledge. He understood the value of knowledge. And he said to the to his son, you know, in an angry mood, that with one hand pour water, with the other hand wash the feet of Imam Kisai Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. Harun Rashid not only had great reverence, love for the Islamic scholars, but he would also prefer the opinions of Islamic scholars and jurisprudence in the affairs of his kingdom and in the religious world and worldly matters. He used to be, you know, very clued up and very close to the scholars. And I ask a question, how much close are we to our scholars of the deen? Do we even have their name, you know, or their number saved in our phone? Something happens, you know, we've got the number of our financial advisor, we've got the number of our solicitor, we've got the number for our doctor, we might have the number for a builder, for a painter, for other people as well. But the only number that we're missing in our phone diary is the number of a good scholar that can guide us regarding our deen as well. It's mentioned in Malfuzat-e Ala Hazrat, when an Islamic scholar would come to the court of Harun Rashid, the king would stand up out of his reverence. Once the courtiers humbly asked, "Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, the dignity of kingship is reduced." He replied, "If the dignity of kingship is reduced due to revering Islamic scholars, so it is worthy to be reduced." And he says that if you think that I stand up for these scholars and my respect is reduced, then let it be reduced, because there is no comparison to the scholars. Now, this teaches us what kind of teachers we need to have. Sometimes, you know, we just send our children, koi pata nahi kuthe janen, flani khala kol, flani apa kol janen, kar pane, do they read the tajweed? They might not even know what tajweed is. Yeah, we want the cheapest Islamic knowledge, but we want the best worldly knowledge. Yo, 30 pa, maa putter, you know, bada sakhas. To sasta labi gaya, 3 pound ke dene ke nen. Yeah, and we think that is brilliant, 30 pound an hour to teach my son maths, to teach my son English, to teach him, you know, about science and all other worldly knowledge. But when it comes to the Quran, and the teacher says that 20 pound, 30 pound a month, 3 pound milene, ye ta lut maar hai. That is too much. That just tells you about that person. It was bande ne bare pata lagi reya. That just tells you about that person, how much love he has for the knowledge of the deen. But the dunya is paying 30 pound a session. Yeah, 30 pound an hour is willing to pay for his son's education, for his daughter's education. But when it comes to the religious knowledge, 30 pound a month seems too much. And then he'll send his children for tuition. He might be even hiring a better, the best tuition, the best tutor in town. Why? Because he comes home to teach my son. But when he comes to the knowledge of the deen, we ask the imam, "If you got time and you can make it, try coming to my house." You know, even once a week will be fine. Yeah, 7 days tuition for the dunya, 1 day tuition for the deen. That just teaches you the mindset of that person. Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, though he was not educated himself, but he knew the significance of Islamic knowledge. Yeah, his father, Imam Ghazali's father, he wasn't educated himself, but he knew the significance of Islamic knowledge. That's why he wished for both of his sons محمد غزالی and Ahmad Ghazali to gain knowledge of Sharia and Tariqa. For this purpose, he saved some wealth which greatly helped both of his sons to gain Islamic knowledge. Yeah, so he was an educator himself. Apu itne padhe likhe hue kaun hain? Lekin kya cheez thi? He wanted to educate his children as well. So inshallah azawajal, let's all make this intention. Niyat karein, I will educate my children in the deen. Inshallah, once they're educated in the deen, takya inshallah they will be running and they will surpass and they will get a great reward in the education of the dunya as well. We've got the daily reminder. Let's go and see what daily reminder we have for today. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
What is the connection and link between blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla and gratitude? Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has stated, a person from Hamdan had said, the connection, link and relation of a bounty is with gratitude, and vice versa. To say that the connection of gratitude is with abundance in his bounty. Subhanallah. Dear viewers of Madini channel, Sayyidina Utarid Qarashi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has also reported that the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, when Allah azza wa jalla grants his bondman the ability to thank him, he azza wa jalla does not deprive him of an increase in his blessings, because he azza wa jalla has promised in the Holy Quran Pak, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, la in shakartum la azidannakum. If you give thanks, I will give you more. Allahu Akbar. And furthermore, dear viewers of Madini channel, Sayyidina Ali bin Salih rahmatullahi ta'ala Ali, in the commentary of this verse, he has said that this verse means that if you thank me with obedience and worship, then I will increase you in your blessings. Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Abdullah Muhammad bin Munqadir Qarashi rahmatullahi ta'ala Ali has stated that our beloved Nabi, the Prophet of Rahmah, the intercessor of the Ummah, the owner of Jannah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallama, would make this dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Subhanallah. Dear viewers of Madini channel, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallama would make shukr to Allah Azza wa Jal. So why should we, as the followers and ummatis, as of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not give and show gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jalla? May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us no one's muhtaj except for himself. May Allah Azza wa Jalla fulfill all our lawful wishes. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah azza wa jalla, that was a great reminder for us. Now if you look at it, our great Shaykh, Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he left his hometown of Jilan, he left his mother and he went to Baghdad Sharif. Baghdad was the city of knowledge at that time. It was the, as you say, the golden age, where the golden era, where knowledge was so excellent in Baghdad that people from all over the world used to flock to Baghdad and to be educated under Islamic scholars. Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, from an early age started to learn about the world, about the Islamic education. And at the tender age of 13 years, 10 months, and 4 days, he completed gaining the sacred knowledge of all the general subjects, and he became the Mufti of Bareilly Sharif. Now, Allah Ta'ala, he mentions in the glorious Quran why it is important for us to guide ourselves, to guide and to save ourselves. Allah Ta'ala mentions in Surah Tahreem, verse number 6, para number 28.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم
وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. Translation from Kanz al-Iman. O believers, save yourselves and your families from the fire, the fuel of which are men and stones. Appointed over it are the extremely powerful angels who do not refuse the command of Allah and do as they are commanded. Sayyiduna Naimuddin Murad Abadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has stated in Khazainul Irfan regarding the part Ya ayyuhallazina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. He says, by obeying Allah and His beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, carrying out acts of worship, refraining from sins, guiding your family members towards righteousness and preventing them from evils, and providing with Islamic knowledge and teaching them manners, save yourselves and your families from the fire. The beloved and blessed Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he says, all of you are chiefs and rulers of your family members on the day of judgment. Every one of you will be asked about his dependents. We will be asked about our children, will be asked about our families. Did you teach them about the deen? Did you try to educate them in the dunya or the deen? We're going to be asked about that. That's why the scholars, they say, on the day of judgment, no one will be able to move one inch from the place unless they have answered five questions. Number one, how did you spend your life? Number two, how did you spend your youth? Number three, how much knowledge did you gain? Number four, how much wealth did you earn? And number five, where did you spend your wealth? These five questions will be asked on the day of judgment. We're going to be asked about this. Did you try to have your sons get in the best job taaki paise zyada labsi? Janab, engineer bansi, architect bansi, paisa kamasi. Is that the only reason why you educated your son? Did you educate him in the dunya, but you never educated him in the deen? So what are we going to reply to Allah Ta'ala? What is your son going to say on the plains of judgment day? Why he didn't gain knowledge of the deen? Why? Because my father was busy educating me in the dunya. Miki da abba doctor banana si, miki da abba wakil banai reha si. Lekin there is nothing wrong in that. I know many doctors, mashallah, who are good scholars as well. I know many doctors, mashallah, who are Hafiz-e-Quran. So these things can happen. We can educate our children in the deen and the dunya. Yeah, so try to educate your children from a young age. When they're about 7-8 years old, try to make them Hafiz-e-Quran. I know not all people will become Hafiz-e-Quran, but majority do become Hafiz-e-Quran. Put that love of the Quran in their hearts. Put that love of Islamic knowledge in their hearts. And inshallah, once they are 10, 11, 12, 13, they become Hafiz-e-Quran. And then continue their studies. And inshallah, choose a subject for them. Choose medical. Yeah, choose anything you want. So they can become anything they want, but be Hafiz as well. They can be anything they want, and they could be scholars, they could be Alim-e-Deen as well. Alhamdulillah, Dawat-e-Islami runs part-time Dars-e-Nizami courses online as well. So try to put your children in them courses as well. Mufti Sharifu al-Hakam Jadi rahmatullahi ta'ala, he said, Ra'iyya, dependence means that those who are under someone's supervision. Yeah, so our children are under our supervision. So therefore, it is up to us which path we need to put them. You know, some people, alhamdulillah, like their children to go on the path of becoming an Alim-e-Deen. And then some people would like their children to become going on the path of becoming, you know, other researchers in the deen. MashaAllah, that's what you call, subhanAllah, people as well. And Amir al-Sunnah, Damat Barakatuhum al-Qudsiya, he has so much love for scholars. He says that Amir al-Sunnah, subhanAllah, he meets this different scholars. He listens to their naads, alhamdulillah, azza wa jal. He says, Amir al-Sunnah, in his own words, he says, I have a deep affection for the students of Dawat Islami's Jamiat and Madaris and make dua for my forgiveness for their sake. Alhamdulillah, our students offer different Nafal Salah in addition to the Farz 5-time Salah. Many of our students offer Salatul Tawbah, Tahajjud, Ishraq and Charged Salah. Thousands of students also submit their Madani Inamat booklets after filling them up, and countless students travel with the Madani Kafilas of Dawat Islami. So Alhamdulillah, this is what Dawat Islami has given us. And it says, Allahumma zid fazid, thumma zid. Ya Allah, increase and further increase and then increase more. Subhanallah. And Amir al-Sunnat is making dua for these Islamic scholars. How lucky these people are, that a great wali of our time is making dua for these scholars of the deen. It's been narrated that once Khalif Harun Rashid invited Abu Muawiyah Aziz rahmatullahi ta'ala, who was blind, when a lota for washing hands and the pot from which hands and mouth are washed were brought at the time of having a meal. Khalifa Harun Rashid gave the pot to the servant and washed the hands of Abu Muawiyah Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi himself after taking the lota in his hand, and said, do you know who is pouring water onto your hands? He replied, no. The king humbly said, Harun. So making dua for him, Abu Muawiyah said, may Allah respect you the way you have respected knowledge. Harun Rashid said, I did all this in order to obtain this dua. Subhanallah, being the king of the Muslims, he's washing the hands of Islamic scholars. You know, have you ever seen Islamic scholars wash the hands of kings? You won't. Very rarely would you ever see that. And those who do, they'll be just after the wealth. But you see today, subhanallah, now the great people, now these are great people of knowledge, people of wisdom. It's been narrated about Sayyidina Qazi Abu Yusuf Yaqub bin Ibrahim rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, that he became an orphan in his childhood. His mother made him work with a washerman so that she could run the home, a laundrette. Once he went to the gathering of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa and liked so much the things which were being mentioned in the gathering that he started sitting in the gathering instead of working with the laundrette. When his mother knew, she took him to the laundrette. When the matter got further severe, his mother said to Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, there is no one to bring my child up. I sent him to the laundrette so that he can earn something, but you have spoiled him. Sayyidina Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala said, oh, the fortunate, let him gain knowledge. The day is not far when he will be eating the halwa of almonds and pure ghee and nice faluda. Having heard this, the mother of Imam Abu Yusuf got very displeased and said, are you making fun of us? How can a poor people like us eat halwa of almonds and pure ghee? Imam Abu Yusuf continued to gain Islamic knowledge with steadfastness, and the time came when the post of Chief Justice was handed over to him. Once the Khalif invited him, and during the feast, the Khalif said, put in towards the halwa of almonds and pure ghee and nice faluda. O Imam, eat this halwa. It is not easy for us to get such halwa prepared every day. Having heard this, Imam Abu Yusuf recalled the words of Imam Azam and started smiling. When the Khalif asked him, he replied, my respected teacher, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, said to my mother years ago, this son of yours will eat the halwa of almonds and pure ghee and faluda. Today, the statement of my respected teacher has come true. He then related the whole event of his childhood to the Khalif. So he became very surprised and said, undoubtedly, knowledge definitely benefits and makes a person attain great status in the world and in the hereafter as well. So that is the status of knowledge. And you see scholars, alhamdulillah, people sometimes talk about ulama ikram eating halwa. There you go. Halwa is mentioned there as well. Yeah, so alhamdulillah, azza wa jal. Halwa is, in Arabic, halvun means sweet, a sweet dish. Yeah, so now when you learn the knowledge of the deen, you know, at this moment in time, if I look at it, we need so many English-speaking scholars to be in our local masajids. We need many of them. But we can't get enough. We need so many teachers to teach our children in the madrasa, in the jamias, but we can't get enough. There are so many madrasas that are lacking teachers. There are so many masajids that don't have a proper imam. Yeah, theek hai guzara area, but you need a proper imam, the one that could give knowledge to people, the one that can give, you know, give that knowledge to people, that can pass on the knowledge to the people as well. We're lacking, seriously. There's so many masajids. Every single week we get calls. You need an imam, need a hafiz, need a teacher. But because everyone is taking their children towards the dunya, towards the worldly knowledge, many people are not coming to the religious knowledge. Can you imagine if this downfall of Islamic scholars and teachers continues, then Allah Ta'ala forbid there'll be a time when our children, there will be no one to them. Okay, my children, my great-grandchildren, my great-great-grandchildren, maybe, you know, my children, alhamdulillah, are getting the Islamic knowledge. Your children are getting that knowledge because we at least have some scholars. But can you imagine that dreadful time when there will be no people to teach education of the deen? There'll be dunya, worldly knowledge. Everyone will run towards that. Yeah, that's why we pay £9,000 a month for a year. £9,000 a year annually for a course. And it's at least that course is about, you know, 3 to 4 years. And if you're doing medical, that's like 5 years. So you're going to be in debt for all that much amount of money. But when you become an Islamic scholar, Dawat Islami Jami'atul Madina, alhamdulillah, is free. We don't even charge money. So when you are becoming an Islamic scholar, there is no debt on your head. But if you become a worldly, your knowledge, then there is so much debt that's going to be on your head. I'm not discouraging anyone from not learning the education. I'm not saying that don't become scholars, don't become the doctors, don't become lawyers, don't become engineers. Yeah, we do need them. No one denies that. But the lack of Islamic education is what we are seeing in our community today. People don't want to come forward. Har banda apne bacche ki doctor hi banao, wo alim e deen banao, hafiz e Quran banao. You know, have that love inside your heart for the deen as well. Or else, who's going to be teaching deen to our children as well? Amir Ahle Sunnat Damat Barakatuhumul Aliya, he's given a beautiful Madani mission by making the mind of his disciples, his murids, well-wishers, family members and friends. And he says, I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world. That is the statement of Dawat Islami, the mission statement of Dawat Islami. And how you could change yourself, how you become a good Muslim, is by following the laws of Islam and becoming Islamic scholars. Inshallah, we've got the daily hadith today as well. Let's see what we have for the daily hadith. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
The viewers of Madani Channel, offering salah on time, doing good with your parents, and striving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the best of deeds. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu recalls, I asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from all deeds, what are loved most by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He replied, offering salah on time, subhanallah. What after this? I further inquired, doing good with one's parents. He further explained. And after this, I asked, he concluded by explaining, striving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, the best of deeds. Instill in your children the habit of offering salah, O devotees of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When your child reaches 7 years of age, have them offer the 5 daily salah. In this fashion, they will become punctual in this important act of worship from their childhood. Have them get used to waking up early in the morning and then making wudu. During colder weather, ensure the water they use for this is warm for their ease. They may otherwise become averse to both making wudu and offering salah entirely. When his son becomes the age of 7, a father should take him to the masjid. He should also inform his son of the required decorum expected thereupon, and how it is not a place for loud noises, running around or passing in front of people who are praying. When the congregation stands for Salah, children should be made to stand alongside one another behind the final rows of men. This will foster a spiritual connection with the child and the masjid. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, how important it is to make a connection with a child and a masjid spiritually. Bring your children to the masjid to create a spiritual connection between the child and the masjid. Help them pray the daily five salahs, and when they reach the age of 7, take them to the masjid to offer congregation salah. Teach them the etiquette of the masjid. This way, they will be connected with the masjid, insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. MashaAllah Azza wa Jal, the very beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now, why is it that we are seeing a downturn in people gaining knowledge of the deen? Why do we not see many Islamic scholars? Why do we not see that jazba, that enthusiasm in learning about the dunya, in about the deen? Let me give you a few hurdles, some problems that we have in society. Number one, hard work and steadfastness are necessary for gaining Islamic knowledge. Nafs gets tired of this hard work and suggests the person to escape. That's one hurdle. Yeah, you need to be educating yourself. You need to put hard work and effort inside. I have seen students sat up at night, you know, learning the hadith, learning their lessons. I have seen students, alhamdulillah, sat at home late at night and, you know, learning their Islamic education. A student should make his mind that a little hard work in this world for gaining Islamic knowledge will bring about great ranks and status for him in the hereafter. Itna thodi ji mehnat karni paisi. Parents will need to give their time. Parents need to look over the children. And then, inshallah, azawajal, you're going to find results. The second hurdle, the second obstacle is the sad and unfortunate aspect of our society is that the status and rank is not given to the student who gains Islamic knowledge, which he really deserves. So an Islamic knowledge student, he doesn't get that respect like other students get. Oh, this student here is doing medicine, he's doing law degree, he's doing this degree, he's doing a PhD. Now what happens is these people, they don't get appreciated. People don't appreciate them for their hard work. And then all of that hard work will be down, and these people, you know, they'll be looked upon in a sense that, you know, they'll be looked down upon. Oh, Maulvi Banirin. Yeah. Halanke, being a Maulvi is a very good thing. And Maulvi Saab is someone who knows the knowledge of the deen. Let me give you an example. When a baby is born, who mostly gives azan? Maulvi Saab. When your child starts to learn an Islamic education, who will teach him? Maulvi Saab. When he gets old, he gets married, and who's going to come and read the nikah? Maulvi Saab. When things go wrong in your family, your son gets ill, who's going to give you ta'weez? Maulvi Saab. And then when your son gets old and he dies, who's going to read the janaza? Maulvi Saab. So everything Maulvi Saab needs to do. But how much respect do we give to Maulvi Saab? Have you ever seen, and this is not in a derogatory way I'm saying, you know, but what I'm saying is, have you ever seen someone's got a son and the counselor of the area is going to give azan? The MP is going to read the nikah, or the prime minister is going to read the janaza? It doesn't happen, does it? Because sadly, these people who are on these authorities are not Islamically educated. And that is one of the biggest problems as well. The third problem, the third hurdle that people face when they learn knowledge is sometimes the desire for wealth becomes a hurdle. Yara, maybe doctor bana 90,000 pound salana lapsi. I'll become a lawyer as well. I'll get 2 grand a week wage as well. I'll become a businessman. I'll get so much money. So this desire of wealth also plays a very big role. Yeah, it plays a very big role in our lives because it wouldn't let us do anything. And those people who are educating themselves in the deen, these people will also, you know, the shaitan will take them away. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi would behave very gracefully towards the learned people. He was asked, why don't you treat all equally? He replied, after the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam and blessed companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, I do not consider anyone's status elevated except the scholars. Even if a single scholar gets distracted due to his needs, he will not be able to serve Islam in a proper way and will not be able to pay his proper attention to Islamic education. Therefore, it is preferable act to liberate them from scholarly services. Subhanallah. Yani, he should liberate them from the scholarly services. So he used to promote Islamic knowledge. He used to support the Islamic scholars. He used to support those people who are educating themselves in the deen as well. A very beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam: "Khayrukum man ta'allama al-Qur'ana wa 'allamahu." The best amongst you, the best person amongst you, is the one who learns the Holy Quran and teaches it to others. The best. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say the best amongst you is the one who's got a good car. The best amongst you is the one who's got a massive house. The best amongst you is the one who's got a good brain and is a doctor, is a specialist in something. No, the best amongst you, man ta'allama al-Qur'ana wa 'allamahu, is the one who learns the knowledge of the Quran and he teaches it to others as well. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam said, the person who learns the Holy Quran and teaches it and acts upon whatever is in it, on the day of judgment, the Holy Quran will intercede on his behalf and will take him to paradise. Subhanallah, the reward for those people who learn the Quran. And mashallah azza wa jal, there are so many people who are living in this world, mashallah azza wa jal, and who are learning about the glorious Quran. Subhanallah. Allah ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَلَا يَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُ. And undoubtedly Allah will necessarily help him who will help his religion. Yani, how can you help the religion of Allah? Yes, you can support the religion of Allah by your wealth that Allah Ta'ala has given you. Like Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, Sayyidina, many others, Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhum, you know, where they used to give their wealth in the path of Allah. You can help your deen of the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal by spreading the Islamic knowledge, the knowledge that you have gained, the knowledge that, you know, alhamdulillah, that sacred knowledge of Islam that you have gained as well. Subhanallah. And this is what Dawat Islami is doing around the world, spreading the knowledge of the deen. To help Islam with gold, silver, cash, it's not a new act, but it is the act of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, presented everything in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. He says, Ya Rasulallah, I have left Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I have bought all the wealth and presented to you. Such a great sacrifice. Subhanallah. Ala Hazrat Imam Ahlus Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala li, he mentions a few pearls in his booklet masterpiece Fatawa Razviya Sharif. He says, bi iznihi ta'ala, they will stay safe from terrible death. 70 doors of terrible possible deaths will be closed. Those people who give money in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Ta'ala will protect these people from a bad ending. Number two, they will live long. Allah knows how long, but Islamic scholars do tend to live longer than normal people. Alhamdulillah, you know, if you look at in the past few years, the great scholars that have passed away from this world, majority of them were in their late 80s or 90s. But if you look at the overall general thing, You know, people die at the age of 65, 70, 75, but Islamic scholars live longer, subhanAllah. So because of their knowledge that they have, Allah Ta'ala will increase their lifespan as well. Sustenance will increase, wealth will be in abundance, and a person will continue to have that. So when you give in the way of Allah, the sadaqat, the khairat, the zakat, the fitrana, the helping the madaris, the helping the masajis, helping the orphans, helping the needy, you know, helping those people who are fasting to do their iftar. You know, all these kind of things, what will happen? Allah Ta'ala will increase their wealth in abundance, that a person will, inshallah, will continue to have them. Inshallah, so we've got a very beautiful package for you to watch, and then we'll come back and wind up the program. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi barik wa sallim.
O Muslims, spend in the cause of Allah.
The importance of zakat can be understood from this one fact, that it has been mentioned 32 times in the glorious Quran alongside Salah. From this, my dear viewers of Madani channel, we understand and we see the significance and importance of zakat. That wealth which needs to be given in zakat, it has been described as impure wealth of that individual. We can understand that when something impure mixes with something pure, that impure thing ruins that pure thing as well. In the same way, if your impure wealth, it mixes with your pure wealth, i.e. the amount of wealth which needs to be given in zakat is not given and it stays with the rest of your wealth, there is a fear that the rest of your wealth can be destroyed as well. My dear viewers of Madani channel, to keep our wealth pure, to protect our wealth, to protect ourselves from harm and calamities, let's make this firm intention that we will calculate the full amount of zakat that is due from us and we will donate that full amount in the correct place as well. Your Dawat-e-Islami is an open book. The works of your Dawat-e-Islami are there for everyone to see. So many scholars have been produced, so many huffaz have been produced. All of this is only possible with your help. We want to increase in this work as well. So this year, when you are donating your zakat, please donate generously to your Dawat-e-Islami as well.
Dawat-e-Islami UK Madani Channel. Sort code 309773. Account number 4363450. IBAN GB67LOYD 309773436 3450. BIC LOYD GB21087.
Your donations can be utilized in any permissible, religious, reformative, welfare, spiritual, benevolent, charitable, and income-generating lawful and secure work so that the increasing expenses can be met.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah Azza wa Jal, it was a fun promo that we were watching, and we tend to put the fun promo as well so that I want to reach out to our viewers and our guests that please help Dawat-e-Islami in running Madani Channel. As you know, Madani Channel, alhamdulillah, does not have any advertisements. You will never ever watch Madani Channel, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, with advertisements. Yeah, every time when you switch on the TV, you're always learning about the knowledge of Deen. And that's what we would like to keep it as. So please, we need your funds. And I was speaking to a Mufti Sahib and he says, every time I turn on the TV, the only thing that I learn about is about my Deen. And he goes, Madani Channel is doing a fantastic job. And alhamdulillah, many people accept Islam in Faizan-e-Makkah Masjid in Bradford 9. Alhamdulillah, we had a revert, mashallah, a brother, a non-Muslim accepting Islam. And that is through the knowledge that Madani Channel is spreading throughout the whole world. So I hope, inshallah, you can be part of this success of Dawat-e-Islami and promote the works of Madani Channel and help and support Madani Channel in any way that you can. And inshallah, and also try to give you a zakat and fitrana for the Madani works of Dawat-e-Islami around the world, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala bless us and may Allah Ta'ala give us a beautiful understanding of our beautiful deen. Jazakallah khairah for today. I will see you tomorrow, same time, same place, inshallah. Take care of yourself. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.